to episode 212 of Taking the Charge podcast with you from Regensburg, Germany. I'm David Hein of Hein News. Thank you for stopping by. Yeah, basketball never stopped really, but starting to really pick up. NBA preseason games, the NBA yearly global games, Champions League is in its second qualification round. Leagues are starting up all over the place. Full swing. The only thing we don't have yet really is the, well, NBA, I guess, but the only thing we really don't have yet is the European domestic leagues, European continental cups, EuroLeague and EuroCup, FIBA Europe Cup, but they'll be starting up in the next 10 days or so. Next 2 weeks, everybody will be playing internationally and domestically. So, yeah, should be fun. Can't wait. Some good ball already. And so just kind of talking about it this week. Not too much in depth. Just kind of scratch the surface on some things. And then introduce the interview of the week. And then move on. Let you move on to your day as well. You want to get in contact with the show? Contact me on Twitter is the easiest way. Hein News, H-E-I-N-N-E-W-S is my handle on Twitter. There's the podcast group in Facebook. That's just put in Taking the Charge Podcast, and you will find the group. And of course, we want you to come in, but we want to be at the door welcoming you in. So please just request to be a member, and of course we'll let you in. There's the website, hinnews.com, hinnews@gmx.de is the email. Go to Twitter, go to iTunes, rate, review the show. You could also support the show. Head to Patreon, patreon.com/... Taking the Charge, all one word, and you can support the show. Show us your love. And okay, so yeah, NBA. Like I said, preseason games. Kind of nice to see that one of the main storylines was that Joel Embiid finally made his NBA debut, if you will, even though it was just a preseason game, but he was able to get on the court, which was, I'm sure, thrilling for 76ers fans. Of course, then they see, or before that, actually, they see Ben Simmons go down and have surgery for a broken foot, so he's going to be out somewhere, maybe even till April. So it's a big loss to them, but definitely cool that Embiid was on the court. There was the NBA Global Games where Oklahoma City took on Real Madrid. Real Madrid won in overtime, and I think it was 132-137, I think, or something like that. With Sergio Llull going off with 24, or I think he had 22, big three at the end of the regulation to send it to overtime. Jason Carroll had a big game too, and a lot of people in the NBA, let's say fantasy basketball world, are talking that Russell Westbrook will be maybe even the number one pick, but Victor Oladipo definitely showed in that game that he's going to be, he could be a big time running mate with Oladipo, with Westbrook. Poured in 34 against the Real Madrid. And I believe he took 24. I think he took, he definitely took the most shots. I want to say he took 24 shots compared to, compared to the I think it was, unfortunately, my computer's not working right now and I can't get the box score up. I believe it was something like 14, 17 shots or so from Westbrook. But by far, most shots came from Mr. Oladipo and actually Cantor had quite a few shots as well. Also you had a chance to see Real Madrid without some of their, well, I mean, their main guy, obviously Chacho, is gone. That being Sergio Rodriguez heading over to the NBA. Let's see if I can find this here. Here we go. Great, great podcasting, I know. All right, there you go. 24 shots, 14 for Westbrook, 20 for Cantor, 29 and 10 for Cantor. Big game by him. Sergio Lul had 5 of 6 from 3-point range, so that's a good game from him. You also saw Luka Doncic. 3 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 turnovers in 18 minutes for the 17-year-old, who also, I think last week, I can't remember if I mentioned it last week or not, but announced that he would be playing for Slovenia, which obviously made the people in Slovenia quite happy. Yeah, Trey Tompkins also had a big game from outside with 16 points. Othello Hunter, 19 points. NBA guys. Abrines had 12 in his homecoming to Spain. Westbrook with 18 and 4 assists. Oladipo, 34. Just 1 of 7 on threes, but 5 assists, 4 turnovers. Domas Sabonis, first game, 7 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. Those are some nice numbers, but 6 fouls in 29 minutes. He had foul troubles with Gonzaga. So I wonder if that's going to take a while for him to get over those foul troubles. Have to see how that works out. But definitely, a guy who's going to produce when he's there on the court. Also made 1 of 2 3-pointers, so that was good to see as well. So that's some of the NBA. Some other news, I guess. You had Mr. Messina. Ettore Messina saying that he wanted to stick around with the Italian national team. Of course, they failed to get to the Olympics, despite hosting the Olympic qualifying tournament in Turin. But he expects to remain the Italian coach. So Italian fans could be excited about that. Another big story was the actual confirmation that Mr. Kozlauskas will be stepping down. That was kind of expected as well. Sabonis, big man Sabonis, Arvidas confirmed it, and saying that the Lithuania Basketball Federation will be holding the executive council meeting on the 25th of October. So maybe, have a better idea who might be able to succeed him, successor to Jonas Kozlauskas. The FIBA report talking about it mentioned Rimas Kurtinaitis. Sarunas Jaskevicius and Tomas Pasesas as three of the men linked with the post. Obviously, Sabonis didn't say anything about those, saying we have to wait until the 25th. So, yeah, that's I guess that's most of the news. Don't think there was really anything. Like we said, the Champions League, Basketball Champions League, is gonna be ready in a couple weeks as well. Their final qualifying games are this week. So that's going to decide the final teams for that. I think there's four games that are going on right now, so that'll be then the have the field ready for that. Should be pretty exciting to actually see how this thing goes down. What is cool is that the games are going to be live on YouTube, which is I think probably one of the best places to watch games on YouTube. Just the fact that it's a really, I mean, obviously everybody watches YouTube, so I'm not saying anything, you know, grand or anything like that, but it's just a great product and a great way to watch games. Tuesday the 18th is the first games of the regular season in the Basketball Champions League, so it should be pretty cool. When does EuroLeague start? EuroLeague starts, I believe, the week after that, if I'm not mistaken. Let's see. EuroLeague's first games. They're gonna make me stop there. EuroLeague's first games are on the 12th. So actually before that. They start a week from today. Pretty exciting. So maybe next week we can have somebody on the show talk about the EuroLeague. See if I can get the EuroLeague Adventure guys on the show. To talk about if Real Madrid can repeat it or not. They obviously open the tip off the season with a game against Olympiacos on Wednesday, the 12th. So just one more week. The guys over at EuroLeague Adventures, if you're new to this show or have been listening to this show and don't know. If you are looking for stuff on EuroLeague, go over to EuroLeague Adventures. They obviously do a great job covering EuroLeague. That's their baby. They do exclusively that. And of course, there's the EuroLeague Adventures podcast. I think they have one more, maybe two more, but I know one more. They've been running down the last 2 weeks or so. They've been running down all 16 teams, reviews of all 16 teams, breaking them down. As always, it's pretty entertaining. Those guys are good. Fantastic stuff for those interested in the EuroLeague and what you can expect from all those teams. So I'm going to let you, if you're interested, best thing really, just go over there. You know, like I said, maybe next week I'll try to have somebody on the show. See if I can organize that. Really, that's really the best place to go and check out what you know, anything you want to know about the EuroLeague. Other than EuroLeague.net, of course. Sorry. Of course, that's the best place to go, but they don't have a podcast. But the EuroLeague Adventure is of course really good. Okay, so let's move over to the interview of the week. It's been a while actually since I initially reached out to contact this individual. His name is Govinda Patterson, and he has a way to he has an idea how to change the way basketball is played. He's the founder of Better Balance Sports Technology. Had a Found a Bleacher Report interview or article about him way back in January 14. And I guess why don't I just let him introduce himself and some of the things about the things he wants to do with the game. So with no further ado, this is my chat with Govinda Patterson. Enjoy, and we'll catch you on the other side. All right, so on the show this week, we have Govinda Patterson, the founder of Better Balance Sports Techniques. Govinda, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David. I'm happy to be here.
First, let's start off with maybe tell us a little bit about yourself. We'll talk about about the Better Balance Sports Technique in at least a little bit more detail in a little bit. But just tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you're from Northern California and you've spent some time out in Hawaii, but just in general, maybe just a little bit about yourself just to introduce the listeners to you.
What would you like to know about me?
Basketball career, maybe, you know, how you got interested in basketball in general and what level you were able to play at?
Yeah, well, my basketball career got cut a little bit short. In high school, my team won the North State of California, and then I got to play junior college, and my team did really good in that too, but I got hurt. I hurt my hip and then my back, and my back, it was just tremendously bad, so that really knocked me out from playing for the last 20 years, and since I couldn't play, it really gave me a chance to think about how I was going to play when I came back. Because I just love basketball so much. It's really all I could think about. And I had a job at the YMCA. I was a gym supervisor. And so I'd just watch kids and help them and teach them all day. And I took a lot of martial arts growing up. So I kind of used a lot of the leverage in martial arts when I played, but I didn't really understand what I was doing until I started trying to teach the kids. And then once I applied the martial arts techniques to one aspect of the game, it just grew from there, and I just created aspects for every single part of the game and just created a whole new way how to play. It's just a much more effective and efficient way to play basketball.
And the two main principles, I guess, are leverage and balance, I would imagine.
Yeah, leverage and balance, using space, leverage, angles, and your opponent's momentum against them. So
how did this kind of come about then?
Well, it's the same principles in martial arts. They've studied balance for thousands of years, and they really understand how to control your opponent's balance, offensively and defensively. And I just brought that into sports. So it simplifies everything. You don't need to do all these crazy fancy moves. You know, it's just knowing where your opponent's weakest point is and how to attack it. And knowing your strongest position and how to stay strong against your opponent, it's really the most important thing. Everything else just falls to the side, because if you can control your opponent's balance, you just have a complete advantage over him in every aspect. So it's just a new way how to play. I don't know why. It's like everybody has just been teaching the fundamentals since it began, and nobody really questioned if it makes any sense or not. Is this throwing me off balance if I box somebody out like this? Or, you know, I can see why whoever came up with it thinks that it makes sense to play this way. But once you break it down to balance, it doesn't make any sense at all to play how everybody else plays.
And when would you say that you, let's say, really, you know, refine or defined the exact techniques that you use sort of as a principle right now? What when did you really come up with a core group of techniques then?
Probably Well, it's a continual work, really. I mean, it's okay. Just getting more and more refined and better. Each time I think it's perfect, I always come up with something else that's going to make it a little bit better, or I can explain it a little bit better. It's just, but probably about 15 years ago is when I first started creating this style of play, I guess.
And when did you think, okay, I want to take this and use it to help other players, you know, to get to a club? And we'll get to that in a second. But, you know, when did you kind of say, all right, you know, I'm going to take, you know, I'm doing work that I don't like, and, you know, I want to take this because I think this is, you know, something that is very beneficial for the game, and I want to use this as the foundation of it. What point was that?
That was really early on, and actually the first person that I tried to contact was Bill Walton, just because I thought, you know, who would be most open to this, you know, idea that there's an actually different way to play that's better. And, you know, because it sounds crazy, because they've been playing for 100-some years, you know, and for somebody to say that they've come up with something new and different, it just sounds kind of crazy, you know.
And for those who didn't read the letter that Bill Walton wrote on your behalf, and, you know, just because there's so much out there, there's so little time, you know, just give us a little bit about what he really liked about your ideas.
Well, basically Bill said that, what I teach is the best techniques he's ever seen used or been taught by all of the Hall of Fame coaches that he's worked with. And, it's really one of the best letters I've ever read. I'm just amazed that he wrote it to me. I'm so thankful. He's just like one of the best people I've ever met. And, that letter's helped me tremendously. So I can't thank him enough. You know, he's, and every time I talk to him, he's just so inspirational. He's just a great guy. I really appreciate Bill Walton.
And when was that? When was that? I don't remember off the top of my head. When was that letter written?
I think it was like 8 or 9 years ago.
8 or 9 years ago. Okay. I found out about you actually, I guess, sometime around early 2014. With the Rick Bucher interview piece for Bleacher Report.
Yeah, he's a great, great guy too. And he's one of the nicest guys I've met throughout this whole process. He's just a good person.
And so, how did he hear about it then? Did he hear about it through? Did you introduce that to him, or did he maybe?
Well, I'd been talking to his editor when he was at ESPN for a couple years, and he recommended that I talk to Rick, so that took a while. And then I talked to Rick for a couple years, and then finally I got a chance to meet him at Summer League. And he really loved what I showed him, so he wrote the article.
And how much did that help? I mean, you know, being out on a big platform like that, and also, you know, obviously Rick Bucher is a huge name in the basketball world, so how much did that help you?
Yeah, it opened a lot of doors for me, actually. I mean, that's a big article. He's one of the best sports writers there is. You know, he's got so much respect in the community. It's that helped me a lot.
So you had the letter from Bill Walton, and Kurt Rambis was, I believe, mentioned in that one. Mike D'Antoni, we'll come back to D'Antoni as well. So talk us through this process. You're going talking to these NBA teams, and you're trying to sell them this. And, you know, I mean, yeah. Bill Walton is a pretty respected person in the basketball industry. You know, Rambis with all of his years in LA, and, you know, head coach, you know, coaching and all that, and obviously D'Antoni. Why the reluctance, I'll say? You know, what do you think has been the main reason clubs have been reluctant?
That's a great question. That's a great question. It boggles my mind every day. I don't know. It's like, I know that I haven't had anybody that hasn't really, I mean, that let me show my techniques that hasn't absolutely loved it. No one's even argued with me because it's just the logic behind what I teach is just so solid. You know, I have so much control and power over whoever I play against just because, you know, the way that everybody plays is so off balance. It doesn't matter that I'm way weaker than, you know, these big, huge NBA guys. I can just toss around like they're nothing. They're just so off balance, big and fast and strong they are. You know, it just blows my God. I've had 3 head injuries. And the NBA tried to hire me on 5 different teams, and for some reason, there's always some executive or somebody that blocks me getting hired. You know, I don't know what the answer is. It just blows my mind.
And so, what exactly are you offering them? What are you looking for?
I'm just looking for a chance to teach a player. Like for more than a couple of days, you know, that can prove what I teach and the effectiveness of what I teach. It's just been difficult because my back has been hurt, you know, to like I can do a demonstration on anybody in the world. And I really don't think that, you know, I've gone up against great NBA players and coaches and no one's even come close to stopping what I teach. It's like if you don't know my defense, it's almost impossible to stop my offense. Just because everyone is so off balance, I can just do whatever I'd like. I can't even move that good because my back. I move like an old man, but you can do my stuff in slow motion. It still works.
And so you said you're looking for a player to just kind of work out with them a couple of days. How long would it take them to? I'm not even say to perfect your techniques, but to. You know, how long would you have to work with a player for them to you know, get to a point where they could, you know, perform at the
where
level
they can do it.
At the level you think they could at the NBA and really, you know, just totally, you know, take defenses apart and you know, or their defender at least apart and, you know, just.
It depends on the person. I mean, it could be just one day, one lesson. You know, and it takes a while to perfect it, but they could get it down. Like, I've had guys get it down in one lesson. It's not that difficult. Some of the stuff is really simple. Some of it's hard to do. You know, if you haven't done any martial arts before, then some of the positions are a little bit more difficult and awkward for people. But most of it's really simple to do. And it just gives you such a huge advantage. It blows my mind that nobody's figured this stuff out. You know, it's just so simple, yet nobody does it. It's crazy.
Give us an example of one. I mean, without maybe, I don't know how much you want to, you know, to. You know.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you a little bit about it. So basically, when you break down balance to its core, I'm always going to be most balanced when I shift my weight in between my feet. And I'm going to be least balanced exactly perpendicular to that. Okay, so no matter which way my feet are, I'm going to be most balanced if I shift it forward and back in between, you know, what direction they are. And least balanced opposite of that. So, I mean, if you think of something like rebounding, if I go and block somebody out, that means I'm pushing myself back through my weakest possible point against my opponent. So I'm throwing myself off balance in the opposite direction that I want to go towards the hoop. So I don't have any control over my opponent because I'm just holding him with my butt. And he can push me, pull me, throw me off balance really easily because I'm pushing back through my weakest point. So like once the ball goes up, since I'm pushing back through my weakest point, I don't have any strength to go get the ball. I'm stuck in this small little circle where I can actually get the ball and I'm off balance. So I can't jump that high and I can't move that fast. So instead of putting my butt against my opponent, you're just going to put your strongest position against your opponent. No matter what, it's putting, like I said, your strongest position is putting a position where your legs are towards him. So, you know, my strongest position I shift my weight, it's going to be towards your opponent. So I can either step in between his legs and control his hip, or if he's not in a position where I can step in between his legs, then I just sit on his leg, but with my strongest position towards him. And so once I can, like, if I step in between his legs, then he doesn't have the space to get around me. He doesn't have the strength to be able to push back against me. And I can seal him because there's no space in between us. So I can seal him either direction, and there's not much he can do. And instead of being off balance once the ball comes off the rim, now I have my strongest position towards wherever the ball goes, and I have a power jump instead of an off-balance jump or an off-balance movement towards the ball. It's hard to make sense, you know, just
I saw there's a video on of you doing it in Hawaii with one
of
the players
there. Oh, yeah,
that
was supposed to be. Yeah. I tried to keep most of the important stuff off the video.
Yeah, of course.
Just because everyone's been just trying to steal what I teach. Even I've had a head NBA coach, tell me that he was stealing my techniques. Not Mike D'Antoni. I don't think it was Mike D'Antoni, but I won't mention his name. But he asked me if he could use my techniques because the GM wouldn't hire me. And I told him no. And then the next time I saw him, you know, he was telling me how great my techniques were. And then he was teaching this, you know, only this technique of mine, but still, you know, I didn't show him so that he could teach it. I showed him so that I could teach it, and I didn't even show him how to teach it. So it's kind of rude for him to steal my techniques. You know what I mean?
You mentioned D'Antoni, D'Antoni was in the article from Rick Bucher back in January of 14. He's also sent a sort of a video. Let's take a listen to it, just for those who might not go out and be able to find it. So take a break really quick and then just play that, and then you can respond to that.
I want to thank Govinda for working our bigs out in summer league. Showed a lot of technique using leverage and very thorough. The players seemed to really like it. So again, thanks, Govinda, for what you did for them. Thanks.
Okay, so that was just a couple of days ago. Mike D'Antoni now, just took over head coach with the Houston Rockets. Said, you know, thanks for coming, working out with the big men. So what exactly did you have a chance to do with Houston then?
Oh, I haven't worked with Houston yet.
Okay, you haven't.
No, he brought me in. I helped him out with the Knicks summer league team when he was with the Knicks.
Okay.
And then he brought me in for about a week for the Lakers camp. And that's when I met with Kurt Rambis and Rudy Tomjanovich and Mark Madsen and a bunch of other coaches, Bob McKinnon and Larry Lewis.
So why doesn't D'Antoni bring you in?
That's a good question. He keeps getting blocked by upper management, I believe. He can't tell me exactly why, but he doesn't understand either. Like it's like each situation he gets brought into, he already has a coaching staff ready for him, you know, that they give him, and there's not much room. Like each time he tries to hire me, they already have a full staff, or, you know, the executives don't want to bring in an extra person, I guess, for some reason. I don't know. But yeah, he's definitely tried to hire me a couple different times. He's not quite sure why he hasn't been able to either.
And you're looking for only an NBA? I mean, I can imagine, you know, D'Antoni obviously has really good connections with Coach K from his work with the USA national team, also with Jim Boeheim. You know, is a big time college program something that might interest you at all? I mean, is that or an avenue that you've kind of approached for some of maybe some of the bigger schools?
Yeah, I have. I've approached many of the bigger schools, and it's the same kind of thing. It's just it's hard to get in the door. People don't believe it, you know, at first off, and then it's hard to get people to read the Bill Walton letter, or Mike D'Antoni also wrote me a letter of recommendation, and a couple of years ago, you know, but I don't know, because it's everything I teach is easily provable. You know, I can just go up against any player and I can prove, you know, what I teach. So I don't know why it's so difficult to get in the door a lot of these places. You know, you'd think that any coach would want any kind of advantage that they can get. I thought, you know, when I first started this, but it's, I don't know what the problem is. I don't know. Maybe you can help me out with that. What do you think?
Maybe come to Europe too. You know what I mean? Maybe that might be an avenue. You know, people in Europe have a lot of practice. You know, and also, if they think that something might work, I can imagine that there's teams out there that would be willing to try something out. I don't know. I mean, you know, just yeah. If you think about the amount of practice that goes on in Europe compared to the NBA, you know, there's a lot more practice going on here. If you're just looking for players, you know, maybe that's the better route to work out with a couple of players and get them to use your techniques and as soon as a guy, I would imagine, as soon as a guy, you know, starts using the techniques and does something good, you know, there's so much copycatting going on everywhere.
Exactly.
Not just the NBA.
Yeah.
So
that's the hardest thing too. I know how valuable it is, so I've been trying to keep it a secret as much as possible, even though, you know, it's almost impossible to do that. You know, but that's been the toughest thing, is not having it stolen before I get to the NBA or somewhere else to be able to prove it. Because, I mean, I can put out a video, you know, I have a video and I put out my book or whatnot, but if I just wanted money, but I want to see what it can do on a team with nobody else having a clue how to stop it. You know, if I just put out my video and like that, then people can copy it and figure out, you know, my defense and how to stop my offense. And I just want to see the full effectiveness of it before I put out my book and the video. Because I can't wait to show the world this stuff. You know, I love to teach anybody that's willing to learn, you know, but I just can't wait to see what it's like when we're the only team that's doing it.
Is this something that any player can use? Or, I mean, D'Antoni said in his little statement, you know, thanks for helping working out with the bigs. Is it something that is more beneficial for low post players, or can anybody?
Every aspect of the game, from, you know, from posting up to driving to the hoop, playing defense, post defense, rebounding, offensive and defensive, how to come off screens, how to. Just every aspect of the game that you can think of. It's just a more balanced and more effective and efficient way to play.
If I was playing, I would, that's what I don't understand. Why a player wouldn't say, you know, hey man, I saw Walton and D'Antoni. A player doesn't come to you. And say, I'll just try it out. You know, I mean, if nothing else, just to try it out.
Yeah. And I got, you know, yeah, it's just been really difficult. I mean, I could see in Hawaii, there's not that many basketball players, but now I'm in LA and, it's been a lot more difficult than I thought it would be to get, you know, a good group of, players that want to learn. And even, you know, I'll teach for free if it's a player that, you know, that really wants to learn. It's not, you know, I just am looking for a good player that wants to learn.
Well, I know there's so many European players who are looking to try to get the NBA. So, it would seem to me that a European market, plus there's so many different coaches and coaching styles and out here that that I could imagine this. I could imagine that it would be picked. It could be picked up somewhere. You know, obviously, it's not a promise at all. But I mean, I would imagine that there's somewhere out here, just with the mass number of players, also because they're looking to get to the NBA. You know, and then that's the goal for all of these guys. And so I don't know. It just seems to me that might be a way to go. Maybe how much? Because you said before that it's kind of it always continues to develop. You know, saying in the last 5, 6, 7 years, whatever, how much has it changed? How much has it changed? I mean, you have the basic principles of leverage and balance, but
yeah,
you know, how much have the techniques actually changed? You know, you refine
well,
it.
Well, I think, yeah, I've refined. I think mostly what I've refined is how I teach it.
How you teach it.
Mm-hmm. And I've picked up on, you know, the same, where people have the same problems. And I teach it a lot better than I used to, explain it in a way that people can pick up on it a lot better. It took me years to figure out how to teach this stuff. I mean, I knew I could do it, and it looks really simple when I do it, but to be able to explain it and have people replicate it has been the toughest thing, you know, but now I think I've really got a handle on you know, where the difficulties were and how I can teach it a lot easier, so players are picking it up a lot better.
And so how many teams have you presented this and actually had a chance to actually go in and present it to, and maybe how many players who are, let's say, in the NBA? You don't have to name any names or whatever, but just how many players or how many, you know, teams have you actually presented this to?
Man, I probably... I've talked with or met with almost every team.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, 'cause I go to Summer League every year and I, in Vegas, and I meet with, you know, quite a few teams almost every year. And, yeah, just about everybody,
and
I guess.
What's the closest?
Huh?
What's the closest you've been to actually being hired?
Definitely with Mike D'Antoni, I think. I almost got hired with him and the Lakers, I think, and with the Knicks. But Jay Triano was close to hiring me, and so was Keith Smart when he was on Sacramento. He said he was going to hire me, and so did Jay Triano. But yeah, I've met with GMs and I've met with, you know, quite a few head coaches and assistant coaches from just about almost every team.
This is probably a tough question to answer. It's probably not one that you want to answer, but you know, probably something that you've thought about. You know, this is a dream.
Uh-huh.
This is a dream for you.
Yeah.
And you know. You know, it's taking a lot of time and a lot of investment and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
How much longer do you think that you, I'm not going to say can afford, but how much longer do you think that you can try to push this before you know, you never want to give up on a dream, but you kind of say, well, you know what, maybe I just can't, you know, maybe there's, you know, there is nobody, you know, have you put a timeline? I mean, like I said, this is kind of like not a question you like to answer and think about even, but.
Yeah, well, no, that's a good question, you know, because, you know, there are times when, you know, I look back and I thought I was, you know, maybe I am crazy. Maybe this isn't, you know, as great as I thought it was. But no, I don't think I could ever give up on it because I know what it can do. I've gone up against, you know, 7-foot NBA players you know, or coaches and the effectiveness of what I teach is just amazing. Like, for instance, I took, you know, the girl from that news video.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Did you watch that?
If I remember, I'll try to link it to the note for the show notes. But I did watch it. Yeah.
Yeah. Her, after I think maybe 3 or 4 lessons that I taught her, she'd never touched a basketball before, like couldn't even make a layup. The first couple lessons, I was just trying to teach her how to make a layup. And I put her up against a student that I had at UH. He was 6'11". She posted him up maybe 7-8 times in a row and scored on him. And that video of that that camera or the news guy that she played against, she scored on him maybe 15-20 times in a row, posted him up, drove him to the hoop, and there's nothing he could do to stop her. She's just learning basketball. It said on the video that she'd been playing 3 years, but she was only playing for 1 year at that time. Yeah, it's just amazing how good this stuff works. I can't wait to see a whole team with it.
And have you thought of, okay, let's say you have a team that does this, and we said copycat league, copycat whatever. Have you tried to figure out how to, like if other players, if other another team, you know, starts to look at it and like how to beat it then? I mean, if it's the same, if you're, you know, if the techniques are the same, you know, okay, what do I have to do in order to, you know, what, yeah, you know, whether you have to be a fit, you know, does then it go down to athleticism and size?
Well, it's always,
then,
well, no, really, it's all about, it's a battle for each other's center of gravity.
Okay.
But if only one person knows that, then you can just take it every single time. And right now, nobody knows that. So whoever I teach is going to have a huge advantage against somebody who just gives them their weakest position all the time. So you can just take it. Instead of putting your strongest your position against your opponent, everyone is putting their weakest. So you can just take advantage of that every single time. But once people figure it out, then it's going to be a battle for each other's center of gravity. And then it'll be a lot better battle. You know, but right now it'll be just whoever learns my stuff is just gonna dominate. It's not even gonna be funny.
Well, man, definitely wish you the best. For people who listen to the show, want to find out more about it, want to reach out to you. How can they contact you? How can they follow you? You know, give.
They can find me on Facebook if they really want to get a hold of me, or. I don't really tweet that much, but I guess they can find me on Twitter. Facebook is probably the best way.
That's Govinda Patterson with an O-N at the end.
Yeah, Patterson.
Yes, exactly. All right, Govinda, I wish you the best. Thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for explaining the. It's been a while since I sent out that first contact, but
yeah. Thank goodness I saw it. I it was lost for years. I didn't even see that you'd contacted me, so I'm happy that I found it.
And that the show is still going too.
yeah. You must be good.
Well, I guess if you do it long enough, somebody has to listen to it. So, but it's been something that. You know, I had the link always there, and interested to see what happens. You'll definitely keep me informed on what happens, and good luck.
Ah, thanks, David. It's been a pleasure.
All right, so if you're a team listening to this podcast, and you feel like you want to, if you want to give him a try. You heard what Mike D'Antoni said. For those who might not want to go and find it, just kind of running down Bill Walton's letter, saying, the best thing probably was personally witness Coach Covina in action. I am proud to introduce him to you. He is very focused, concentrated on the value of balance for basketball players, and he incorporates the best techniques that I have ever seen used or been taught by the 6 Hall of Fame coaches and many others not so honored that I had the opportunity to learn from. This fine young man has a lot to offer to all of us. The game and sport of basketball is and will continue to get better because of the unique contributions of Govinda Patterson. We are all fortunate that he has given our game He has chosen our game as his life's work. So, so high words of praise from the fantastic Bill Walton. So again, if you're interested, you know, he mentioned the Govinda mentioned the way to get in contact with him. So go reach out. Definitely would be interesting to see where he lands. Interesting stuff. All right. So I guess that's pretty much the show. Next week, like you said, your league will be tipping off, which is going to be pretty exciting. Looking forward to that. I guess last thing I need to let you know is what you're going to be listening to. The song's called Blue Springs Forever, and it is by Waylon Thornton, and it is available on freemusicarchive.org. Enjoy it, enjoy the hoops, and we'll talk to you next week.
My name is Sergio Scariolo, and you are listening to Taking the Charge.